The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Man, I appreciate everybody weighing in with suggestions and advice for me navigating the ACT this Saturday. In case you missed it, I lost a bet. Wasn't really fair. But I am going to finally, after 2 years, almost 2 years, serve my punishment. Just taking the ACT. We'll continue talking about that, but I want to make sure that we get to Brian Gutekunst weighing in on the Jordan Love contract situation. Look, I believe since May 3rd, we have all been waiting with bated breath, wringing our hands, holding our breath for when Jordan Love will put pen to paper and sign that contract extension with the Green Bay Packers. But as I said with Adam Schefter, the league has incentivized players to wait. Like, you may want to get it done, but if there are other players out there at your position who are also negotiating with their franchise, Gabe, it feels like if they feel that they deserve top dollar at their position, and you'd feel that you deserve top dollar at your position, it behooves you to practice your patience, does it not?
Oh, as a player, absolutely. And that's where if the Packers negotiated this the way they typically do, by lowballing, waiting, like, they cost themselves money. You needed to be aggressive early and maybe offer Jordan Love $51 million and do it right away when May 3rd, May 4th was around before the Goff contract came out. Now the Goff contract is out. And now you see that contract, he got 53? All right, let's just wait. Let's see what Tua gets. Let's see. And as Adam pointed out, the Dak Prescott seems to be a unicorn situation that you can't really apply anywhere else because he has put himself in a position where he's got more leverage than any player I can recently think of. So, you know, you wait for those other deals to get done to see, okay. But at the same time, it's just a big game of chicken with all those other quarterbacks. Because while Love's waiting for Trevor Lawrence, Trevor Lawrence is waiting for Jordan Love.
I had no idea that Dak had that in his contract where they can't franchise tag him, because I was thinking, if I'm Jerry Jones, just franchise him for 2 years and then let him go because he's going to be on the backside.
Yep.
That could be a huge sticking point with the Packers, because with a young quarterback like Jordan Love, probably going to sign a 4 or 5 year deal. And if he's who we think he is, he is still going to get a monster deal after that, and you lose leverage if Jordan Love is saying, well, I want what Dak had in his contract. You can't franchise me. That's another big sticking point. That's huge. You're losing a lot of leverage there.
You are. But at the same time, I feel like when it comes to these quarterbacks, like, I don't know, it feels like Dak's situation is just so unique in everything that happened in Dallas, because more often than not, when your quarterback is up, you just pay your quarterback. Like, you just, I'm going to bite the bullet. This is the way of the world. I need my quarterback to be competitive. That's, I mean, outside of Lamar Jackson's getting kind of contentious last season, it seems like, yeah, Patrick Mahomes had a lot of years left. They went to him, gave him the 10-year deal, gave him $500 million, and now he, again, on an annual average value, seems like he is a bargain at $45 million. Like, Burrow got his well before he was up. Same thing with God. Like, you have a year left on your deal. You redo the contract. You sign your extension, and teams just kind of move on. But for whatever reason, you knew things were going to get contentious in Dallas, and that's the way they've gone from here.
My guess is take Dak out of the equation.
Yes.
I think the three other quarterbacks are waiting for one of them to sign. So once one domino falls, the others will fall, because they'll all be in that range, right?
Somewhere between 50 and 55.
How would you rank them, though? And you can't rank Love just because he's your guy. I'm not big on Tua. I'm putting Tua three.
Well, Tua's three.
I was just going to ask you, are you going to put Trevor Lawrence above Jordan Love?
Trevor Lawrence, in his second year, had a very similar season, especially late in the year, to what Jordan Love did last year. And then, but he's got the extra data point where he certainly struggled last year.
Yeah,
he's got the extra data point that Jordan Love does not have.
But Doug is such, I mean, I would call Doug kind of a quarterback whisperer.
Sure.
He's going to make him a bit better player, like LaFleur makes Love better. 1A, 1B. The only thing holding me back from Jordan is the sample size.
I was going to say, you don't seem very convicted in this.
Well, I mean, if you're saying last year, I mean, you can't say Trevor Lawrence had a little bit of a down year last year, because Love did too.
Mm-hmm.
His down year came in the beginning, you know. His last nine are fresh on our mind. That's why people would elevate him. But I would put them hand in hand. I think Trevor Lawrence is a hell of a quarterback.
I do as well. I think you just have to go back to the eye test. But I think you're probably right. They're very similar
mm-hmm.
as far as what we think their ceiling is and what we think their floor is, right?
Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence has had seasons of 17 interceptions, 14 and 8. He has 58 touchdowns, 39 total interceptions.
And Jordan is last year's, right?
Jordan is
32 and what was his picks?
35 and 14.
35
career,
and 14.
32 and 11 last year.
Right, but 11. Again, that second stretch of the season, that second
yes,
half of the season.
That's fresh on our mind.
No
yeah.
interceptions.
Yeah, which is the last nine games of Trevor Lawrence 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He had two picks.
Yeah.
So kind of, again, great stretch of games
yes.
where you saw what the potential is like we did with Jordan Love.
Were they the same year? They're pretty close. I mean, they're pretty similar in age.
Trevor was the year
after. I think. Are
no.
they the same year?
They both were drafted same year.
Whoa.
They both have 3 years under the belt.
Whoa.
So they'll get the same deal, right? I mean, whoever signs second is going to get a little bit more.
Okay, so maybe Trevor Lawrence, maybe we have talked ourselves into seeing Trevor Lawrence as the comp for Jordan Love.
Yeah.
And I'd be interested in knowing, Joshy, can you look it up real quick, who Trevor Lawrence's agency is? I don't know if he happens to be with Athletes First, like Jordan Love is. But, I mean, that would be very interesting to see how those two, because if we don't think two is on the same level from a talent standpoint, and we think that Dak is in his own space because of not of having the clauses
yeah.
where they can't franchise tag him,
mm-hmm.
then maybe the best comp is Trevor Lawrence. And if you're Jordan Love, why not wait until Trevor Lawrence signs his deal?
If you think you're better, if I'm Jordan Love and I think I'm better than Tua, don't I wait for Tua to see what he gets? Because if Tua gets 53, right? Like if the Dolphins do something crazy and get in that 52, 53 range like Jared Goff did, aren't you going, wait, I'm way better than him. I can boost my number up now to something closer to Joe Burrow.
You know, I don't think Miami loves Tua.
No,
I don't.
Tua was pretty publicly frustrated just yesterday about the lack
of I don't think
movement.
They love him. That's why I don't think he's getting 53.
Yeah,
I think they're
the
more in the high 40s.
So they're going to franchise tag him?
Good. I mean, he's got two more franchises left, right?
Yeah.
And this year. So he's in
mm-hmm.
the same
yeah.
spot as...
Correct.
Do you get that feeling?
Yes, because they tried to trade for Deshaun Watson while
yeah,
he was there.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
yes.
They're looking for better options. It's tough to find a better option.
Right. They're in that spot right now where they don't have as good of a case for the Packers to do with Jordan Love, but it's, do we stick with this guy and pay him all this money, or do we just start this all over again?
And that, I think, is probably what keeps them married to,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like the situation that Kevin O'Connell found himself in with Kirk Cousins. Like, generally speaking, most people are like, he doesn't want Kirk Cousins,
mm-hmm.
but we've been in it for so long, you know, and then ultimately Kirk didn't want to be there because he didn't feel the love, and that's what got him sent to Atlanta.
Would you take Kirk Cousins over Tua? I would. I mean, Cousins was having a really good year until he tore his Achilles against Green Bay.
Again, and I keep saying this every time we bring up the Tua conversation and the Dolphins conversation, because I think that the Dolphins are going to be better than the Bills this year, and when it's all said and done record-wise. My confidence in Tua is more based on the head coach than it is on him alone.
Mm-hmm.
I just really like Mike McDaniels.
You don't just like him.
I like him.
But I think of the three of them, we know what Tua is. I mean, we know what Tua is.
Yeah, and look, McDaniels has a good PR team, too.
I mean, there's no talk.
I mean, he's good with the media. He
yeah.
talks well. He's made some questionable decisions in some big games.
Yes.
But, you know, again, I think he's got a great PR team. But maybe Miami's sitting there waiting, knowing that the thing's contentious in Dallas. You think they would, oh, man, let's not up Tua. Let's just kind of play this out, see
and
how it plays
after
out.
Dak?
And if Dak becomes available, maybe we can go get Dak.
I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, we know what Tua is. I think I know what Tua is right now. I don't know.
He's an average starting quarterback. Average starting quarterback in the NFL.
Let me ask you this before
above
we...
average, a little above average?
Yeah. Let me ask you this before we move on. So yesterday, Brian Gutekunst says
training camp is sort of the deadline, right? They both want to get it done. We know they both want to get it done. It is very obvious. Adam Schefter has said as much. They're apart on the money. Bottom line. Does it get done before training camp? Are you okay if it doesn't get done before training camp?
One thing in regards to Goody. Goody's the good cop here. Russ Ball's the bad cop. Goody's work is done. It's all, and this is because of the silos, right? They all have equal power.
You don't think Goody is giving the number?
No.
You think Russ Ball is giving the number?
1,000%.
And is the number exclusively based on this is what, this number will allow us to do all the other things we need to do in order to win a Super Bowl?
Put it this way, Jen. I think Mark Murphy has more influence over Russ Ball than Goody does.
So ultimately, the number has to be approved by, maybe not officially, but the number will be approved by Mark Murphy.
Yeah. Goody. And I'll say this, any big contract like that, any big, because I remember with Brett, big contracts, has to be approved by the board. Mark Murphy goes to the board and says, can we, at least this is how it used to be done.
Sure.
Because when Brett would sign his big deals, Bob Harlan would have to go to the board and say, are we okay with this? Obviously, they'd give it their blessing. But you're in charge. Goody, I want him. Yeah, I want him. It's not, give him 56 minutes. No, that's not your lane. That is not your lane. I'm not half of a silo. I'm a full silo. So I think Goody's the good cop here. You know, keeps this thing from getting nuts, and Russ Ball is the bad cop.
Is Russ Ball just Mark Murphy's, like, puppet?
I think out of the three of them, Mark Murphy's probably has the most contact and communication with Russ Ball.
Do we all agree that Mark Murphy has more football influence than we're led to believe?
Yeah.
And probably than we would prefer.
Correct.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
For adding that.
That's well said.
Just to clarify, I am seeing conflicting information here that Trevor Lawrence was in the 2021 draft. Selected first overall by the Jaguars in the 2021 draft. Obviously, we know famously Jordan Love was in the 2020 draft. Mm-hmm. So they are a year apart. But again, the experience is moot because Jordan Love sat for all of those years. If you love sports betting, you have to make your way to Sportsbook at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. Get the ultimate experience with dozens of self-service betting kiosks. That's the thing. Look, you can go to the counter. You can talk to people if you want to. But if you don't want to, you have the self-service betting kiosk where you can stand there and make your bets. It's got seating for more than 200 people. It's got a broadcast booth, a first-class bar, a brand new restaurant called The Kitchen, a VIP deck, which you can rent out for special events, and a video wall over 2,000 square feet wide. Have you guys been there yet? Have you seen the new sportsbook? Have you taken it all in? The new era of sports betting at Potawatomi is here, so you need to get in on the action.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because
you must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Tune in to Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks in Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings, and takes a look inside of the Brandon Jennings story, the origins of Bucks in Six, how it became a rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks, Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher.
So it is almost beach season, summer season here in Wisconsin. And I saw this rant from Scott Van Pelt on his podcast with Stanford Steve. And it touched me in my soul. Take a listen to what Scott Van Pelt had to say about people's beach antics, beach behavior as we enter beach season in the great state of Wisconsin.
I hate the guy or the gal that comes down with 9 chairs and decides that we're going to put them 6 yards apart as if you get 50 yards of beach. You don't. Be reasonable. You can put them a few yards apart, a couple feet apart. That's fine. That's fine. But then if you're going to just leave him there until like 1:30 and you got a 50 by 50 square yard area of beach that you claimed with your chairs, that's bull. Be reasonable. We all got to get along. We're all going to mostly get try to do our best. But everybody just needs a little space. Little space is the key. So don't be the person that thinks on this public beach you get to claim
an acre.
Thank you.
So true. So true, Chew.
But I'll expand because we just went on a cruise.
Oh, no.
And we had spent 2 days at sea. My wife's the person that'll take 9 chairs for 5 people.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, what are you doing? Well, I want space. I'm like, we're at sea. There's not enough seats there. There's probably 60% of the seats compared to the passengers on the thing. We don't need 9. Why don't you take 4? Because it's so hot.
Yeah.
Someone's going to be in the pool at all times. Nope. Nope. I'm like, do it with me. I'm like, no. No.
So
I'm a little too recognizable.
So your
hey, you know that 6'6 guy? And like, what a bunch of.
Here is the person that Scott Van Pelt has an issue with. And he's right. Like, this is an epidemic. People not recognizing shared spaces and the rules of shared spaces, and that it is not your living room. It is not your bedroom. It is not your backyard. You don't just get free range of the space. You have to figure out a way to coexist with the other people who have also chosen to share in the activity that you and your family are sharing in, Gabe.
I also think we need to just outlaw saving spaces. If you got 2 people and you bring 9 towels,
are you running
bleep
on this platform?
You. Absolutely. Bleep you, man. You don't get to put down 7 towels if only 2 of you are there. No, you get 2 towels, 2 people. Everybody else that wants to be there, then they should be there.
You mean
they
later
figure
on.
It out. Correct.
Like you have a big group.
Yep.
So we went to a water park recently, and it was very similar. People would go to the water park in the morning. They'd grab a table, throw a couple of towels over it, throw a bag, you know, a zip bag or whatever it is on it. And then they don't show up for 3 or 4 hours.
No, can't do
and
that.
And the table
isn't
been
the parade.
Sitting there empty at the water park, which again, there's not enough tables for everybody. You got people who are grabbing portions of concrete, you know, a slab of concrete over here for their family of 4. So that to me is very selfish. I know that you think like you're, again, working smarter, not harder, and you've beat the system somehow. No, somebody could use that table for the 4 hours that you were still up snoozing in your bedroom.
How about the bar? That's another one. You go to the bar before dinner, and there's a row of 8 seats, and you have 2 people sitting right in the middle of them, and you come in with a party of 6, and they won't move, where they could clearly move so you could fit your 6, and they're like, no, no.
Yeah, I mean, they might be sitting in the middle because people are around them or whatever. But you come with the 6, yeah, just slide down
just
on the bar.
Slide down.
But what if they're watching a show? What if they're watching a game and that game is on the television? They're right, you know what I mean? They've stationed themselves right underneath the TV.
I'm talking more of the buttholes than anything. I was here first, I'm not moving.
It's good. The good thing about necks is they can turn. Your eyes can move.
Can't confirm.
I'm pretty unfamiliar with this. Like, I think Bradford Beach, no one really stakes out territory there. And I've never been at, let's say, a resort or on a cruise where people reserve it. But if you go down to the pool, I'm going to be going to a resort here come at the end of the month, and there's towels on the chair and there's resort towels, what's stopping me from just taking it and saying I put it there?
Like, if it's a towel that has the resort logo or whatever that you grab from the room.
Right. I don't know, values and morals.
What do you mean values and morals? You're the jerk going ahead and not using the chairs. You're claiming it as some holy person.
So you're saying this is retribution. You're saying if you're going to try to beat the system,
chair,
I'm going to try to beat
it.
The system.
If there's a chair and nobody's sitting in the chair, what if that person's in the pool?
Well, you can tell the difference. Like, usually there'll be stuff around there. Like, but simply... A towel thrown over the back of a chair? Who says I have to abide by those rules? What are you going to do? I'm sitting here. I was here first.
I just think, generally speaking, I just think there are a lot of people out there who are just ignorant to the rules of shared spaces. It is my rant that I will give every single time the opportunity presents itself. I go to the gymnastics waiting room where my daughters are having their gymnastics classes. It is the bane of my existence because for sure every time some parent has given their kid a tablet, it's on volume 20 out of 20. They're watching Cocomelon, completely oblivious to the fact that the rest of the room doesn't want to hear Cocomelon. Like, to me, that is the most, that is the epitome of selfishness. Throw a set of headphones in, plug it into the tablet, and we will all be better off. So this to me is just an extension of that. It's the beach is a shared space. I got my little corner of the beach here. You got your little corner of the beach here. Probably don't have to infringe on each other's thing. We can all have a glorious time. But when you start taking up more than you should or behaving as though you're the only person there, I think people have a right to get a little hacked off.
I agree.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, fair enough.
But, all right, well, took care of that, didn't we?
Sophia next Minner, subject.
Coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, I want to tell you about my friends over at Great Midwest Bank. They have the tools and the people to make your home buying process as smooth as possible. Their loan officers understand the importance of the little things in life. They guide you through the mortgage process with care and expertise. Great Midwest Bank believes that securing a loan shouldn't add stress to your life, and they will simplify the process so you can focus on what matters. If you want a worry-free season, choose Great Midwest Bank for all of your financial needs. It's greatmidwestbank.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things because it exceeds... It's like... I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
all right,
my
can
apple.
We just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN. From the latest happenings on the diamond.
They've obviously taken their hits at times, but I think Freddie Peralta has been so steady. Colin Ray, same thing.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
And he does it so unorthodox. Like, he'll change his batting stance, like, within an at-bat or at-bat to at-bat. Like, it's insane. Like, it defies kind of everything that you hear from players.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Century Foods. Win the ultimate baseball fan experience at Century Foods. Return the entry form found in the weekly ad to any Century by July 24th. Century Foods, the best meat in town. Also brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Brewers back at it against the Phillies this afternoon. I've already dropped the series. But Sophia, I told the guys this morning, I'm actually pretty optimistic about the way this Brewers team has handled what is clearly one of the best teams in the National League. Am I wrong in that? Should I not feel good about the Brewers despite losing two games to the Phillies, hanging with this team and showing that they too are one of the top teams in the National League?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think you can be encouraged by the whole picture, right? And I think everybody knew that coming into this, like, you know, you can say it's a test. You can say it's like, okay, let's see how we stack up. But in reality, I think, like, these two teams, they do it in very different ways, right? The Phillies have tons of star power. And, you know, you look at their starting rotation, they've used, first of all, they've got some of the best arms. And they've used only six starters, where by comparison, like the story for the Brewers has been, you know, I mean, they used openers in the first two games of this series with Jared Koenig, and their pitching depth has been tested to the absolute limit. So I would say they have pitched very well in this series. Obviously lost last night in extra innings, but they had shut out the Phillies up until that eighth inning, which is very, very tough to do against that lineup. So I think they pitched really well. They've held them to five runs in the first two games. We'll see what today presents with Aaron Ashby coming back into the rotation. They're facing Aaron Nola, who, again, is another great starter for them. So, yeah, I think there's certainly always positives that you can draw from these series.
Sophia, how serious is Gasser's elbow?
We don't know yet. The initial examination of the elbow after he left Saturday's game was that, you know, it might be the bone spurs again, or just some general elbow soreness, tightness. You know, the bone spurs started for him at the end of spring training, missed a couple weeks. He's made five starts now here with the team. He is going to get a second opinion. They do believe the UCL is intact, so that's good. But again, they're going to get more information, probably more imaging done, I would imagine. And we'll hopefully know within the next couple of days what the timeline will be for him and just the severity.
This has got to be it, though, right? Like, this is the breaking point for injuries from pitchers. Like, they it's great that Ashby's coming back because he's been on that list of injured pitchers. But I don't know how much more depth they could possibly have in the minors with all the guys that have had to come up and down bullpen starting. It seems like it's too much. If another guy gets hurt, they don't have anybody coming the way that Ashby's coming today.
Right. I think, they've done a great job of, like, figuring this out. Going with the opener, they've had two rookies make their debuts, right, with Tobias Myers, with Robert Gasser. I feel like we keep saying, like, okay, this has to be it, right? Like, this has to be the end, like, uncle already. And then something else pops up. But I would say on the more positive side of things, you've got somebody like Jacob Junis who started a rehab assignment. He could provide some length once he gets built up. D.L. Hall will hopefully get going with a rehab assignment here soon. J.B. Bukauskas just left the team. He's going to go on a rehab assignment. So it's like you feel like some of those guys that have been on the IL for a while, they're on rehab assignments, which means that they're getting closer. But no doubt their starting pitching depth has been just absolutely tested more than we could have imagined. I mean, they've already exceeded their total of starters from all of last season, and here we are in the first week of June.
Sophia Minert hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, talking about the Brew Crew who are continuing their series with the Phillies today. It sounds like there has been an update in the Garrett Mitchell progress, and when he comes back, Sophia, how is it going to shake out? Who will be the odd man out when he gets back on the field for the Brew Crew?
Yeah, I think they've got some time to figure that out. He did leave the team. He's in Arizona now. He's just going to get some live at-bats. And then once he builds up there, then he'll move on to, either Double-A or Triple-A. So, Garrett essentially needs to go through spring training again with the time that he's missed since that injury with the finger. But, yeah, in terms of what it looks like when it comes back, these things kind of have a way of sorting themselves out, even when on paper you're like, it's not mathing, right? Like it's not, the pieces aren't coming together. But yeah, you've got great options. You've got, you know, Yelich is going to stay, Perkins is going to stay, Sal Frelick, a lefty option that's really valuable to have. And then you've got Jackson, of course, who they've made a major commitment to, and they feel like his best development is going to happen here at the major league level. I'm not sure what the value is of him going down to AAA. So we'll see. They've got probably a couple weeks before Garrett is back with the major league team. So we'll see how all of those pieces shake out.
Sophia, we're about a month out from the All-Star game. If the voting ended today, how many players would you expect to be on that roster?
Oh, wow. Gosh, well, I think you'd have to put William Contreras in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the sneaky one here is Joey Ortiz. I think Joey Ortiz could sneaky be an all-star. Christian probably missed too much time with the back injury to qualify as an all-star. Which one am I missing here?
Adames, no.
And you can make a case for Willie, absolutely. Yeah. But shortstop, you're going up against Mookie Betts, and there's just crazy competition at that position.
Peralta have a chance?
He could, yeah. I think he could. He's been one in the past, back in 2021. The way he's made every start, his earned run average is probably a little higher than compared to some of the other aces in the game. But I think, part of it too is like the team's success. Sometimes you get those extra guys in there when you've got a team at the top of the division. So I think you could absolutely make a case for Freddie. I think you could also make a case for Brian Huston. He's been great, and he's given up nothing. He's had one of the lowest earned run averages of any of the relievers. So yeah, I think you could make a case for a couple guys.
Is that respect ever going to change for middle relievers based on the story that we talked about a couple of weeks ago when that was, middle relief was kind of even the wrong term at that point for Josh Hader, where he was just like the fire extinguisher. And you talk about Hudson. Right. Yeah, he's not a closer. He's not a starter, but he's still been such an important part to this team. Is that perception ever going to change in baseball of how valuable that is, especially as starters continue to go fewer and fewer innings?
It should. I don't know if it'll catch up to, you know, what you're talking about with their production and what they mean to a team, right? Like, that role is so valuable. And, you know, it's like we talked about this a lot with Bryce Wilson last year, right? Like, sort of that unsung hero, that glue guy. It's like what that person's role does for the success of the rest of the group. It can't be understated, right? Like one day leads to the next, one inning leads to the next. We talk about this all the time in baseball. So you'd love to get them, see them get that recognition. You know, the game still does value saves, obviously, because the ninth inning is just different. You can't argue against that. So I would love to see those guys get the recognition that they deserve. I do still feel like the numbers that Brian Hudson has put up, he should be in that conversation. But again, we'll see a lot changes from now until the middle of July.
You mentioned Koenig when we first started this conversation, and I want to talk about him because he is in this rare air. It is unusual for a guy to, one, be the opener for a team and then go with a start on one day and a start on the next day, albeit an inning or an inning and a third, whatever it is that Koenig ends up pitching. But it does feel like it's working out really well for the Brewers. Sophia, would you be surprised if this is something that other teams in the league start employing? I know they weren't the first team to do it. I know that Pat Murphy has talked about how he saw the Rays do it a few seasons ago, and that intrigued him. But would you be surprised if the league started to say, hey, we got a guy who can handle this role. Let's create it for him.
Yeah, there's a couple factors that go into that. Like, first of all, the fact that the Brewers have three lefties, right? Like, last year, if you look at last year's bullpen, they only had Hobie Milner. So you typically wouldn't want to burn your only lefty at the start of the game like that for the rest of the matchup. And also, the series that they've done it, the Red Sox and now the Phillies, they have very top-heavy left-handed hitters in their lineup. So that's another favorable matchup of why you would do it against these types of lineups. And then it sets up better matchups for the right-handers that follow with length, with Bryce Wilson and with Colin Ray, who we saw last night. So I think the fact that Jarrett has been, like, so durable, his stuff is nasty. Mentally, it doesn't bother him at all. He goes out. He pregames. He does his normal bullpen routine. He goes through his totally normal day, and then he just pitches the first inning and instead of, you know, later in the game. So he handles it really well. And then you still have Brian Hudson and Hobie Milner as options later in the game. So some of it is based on the matchup. Some of it is based on the personnel you have. Can they handle it? Where are you at in your bullpen in terms of usage, off days, all of that? Because it can, you know, Pat Murphy talked about this yesterday. It's great when it works. And it has absolutely worked for them these first four games. And that's a credit to Jared Koenig because he's been extremely efficient because, you know, if he doesn't get through game one in five pitches for that first inning, he's not available for game two, right? If he's going 20 plus pitches, they're probably not going to ask him to go back to back and do this. So it's a credit to him for how efficient he is. And then, you know, Bryson and Colin have done their job behind him and it sets up the rest of the pen. So it's certainly something that other teams could consider. You just have to have the right personnel and the right matchups in order to do it the way that the Brewers have pulled it off.
Sophia, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Really good stuff. You got one more?
One, just really quick. Sophia, what'd you get on the ACT?
Oh, jeez.
On the what?
ACT.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, some people don't like sharing that type of stuff, Gabe. You really should give people a heads up before you just spring that kind of conversation on them.
All right, fine. We'll do it this way then, Sophia. If you don't, you don't have to share that number. Jen lost a bet a couple of years ago. Don't have to get into that. But she lost a bet a couple of years ago, is now taking the ACT on Saturday. What do you think we should set as the over-under for a goal for Jen to hit?
Wow. First of all, I'm dying to know what this bet was. I don't know if this was your win or your punishment or what, but
punishment. Yes, a million percent.
He definitely didn't win.
Punishment.
This was not a prize.
And I put it off as long as I could. Then people started attacking my character, and I was like, "Well, I guess I better pay off this bet."
Wow. Okay. I don't even know how I would do in a standardized test anymore. I feel like, I mean, Jen's really smart. We all know that, right?
Yep. So she tells us all the time.
Do you remember your high school score, Jen?
I do. I got a 29 on the ACT.
I got a 29 too. Okay, so I was
just a little above me.
Yes, everybody just keeps edging Chewy out. It's unbelievable.
Why is it so hard for people to do what I do? Just lie.
So we said 18 or 20. Craig said if I get below a 14, I have to take it again. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what I get, I'm not taking it again, all right? Proving the character and all that garbage. So one time, that's it. I also said, Sophia, my daughters have a dance recital at 1 o'clock in Germantown. The test starts at 8 a.m. Now, most of the things are saying, you know, 2 hours and 55 minutes, 3 hours. But I just saw on the actual ACT thing, it said reserve 4 to 5 hours for the test. I'm not missing my kids' recital to finish a bet.
No, I mean, if we don't get a score, if you walk out and we don't get a score, I don't think that counts.
Oh, well, you'll get a score.
The whole point of the bet is to get a score. There has to be some finality to it, Jen. You may have to cancel and pick a different Saturday.
I tried. They're all sold out. I just checked. Sold out every single day.
Yeah,
every single one.
This is prime test taking time.
This is,
yeah. It can't fail.
I'm sure
that
there's somebody out there that's like, she's stealing a spot from a candidate, a student, and hey, I would rather not take it. So take that up with Craig Karmazin if you got an issue. Sophia, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. And Jen, good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I really, really, really care about how I do on it. For the next night out, make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel, your dinner destination. It's nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It's an artful dining experience. It captivates with culinary creativity and delights in its offering of artisanal American cuisine. Learn more and make reservations at Aria at stkate.com. That's Aria, A-R-I-A, at stkate.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
I cannot... believe it. First of all, Gabe is gone. He's going to do Greeny today for ESPN Big Radio, so he has stepped out for the final segment of the show. But Chewy,
yep.
On the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll, we put, did Jen Latta do a good thing by answering the door for Jehovah's Witnesses and allowing them to give their spiel and take their pamphlet? 75% of people are saying, no, she did not.
Sounds like a lot of people aren't talking to Jehovah's Witnesses. That's how I interpret it. Not whether you did a good thing. Because it was a good thing.
I thought it was a very nice thing.
I asked explicitly, was it a good thing? And everyone agreed with me, the right person here. You didn't do anything good. You wasted their time.
No. Again, my neighbors were not going to answer the door. The other neighbors weren't going to answer the door. The other neighbors weren't going to answer the door. You think that if they finish the street in a record time, they can go and get froyo or something? What are we doing here?
I thought it was nice.
Thank you.
I thought it was very
nice. When the point is to convert somebody to your religion, just listening to them and uselessly taking their little pamphlet isn't doing them anything.
Chewy made an excellent point when we had this conversation earlier today. What do you think their hit rate is?
Extremely low.
Correct. So they go into it knowing that.
Right.
If I can just make it pleasant, right? I'm sure that they appreciate a pleasant exchange as opposed to the door getting slammed in their faces every time. You know what we need? We need a Jehovah's Witness to call in tomorrow and let us know.
I don't want to do homework tonight.
try to convert us on the air.
Yeah.
Are you concerned about the future of the children? The children or my children?
They are our future.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is done. Will D and Tosh is next. We will be back tomorrow. More ACT prep for me. Oh, goody.